Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, discussing Ukraine and the conflict with Russia with John Hardy of the FDD. Over these last days, the leader, the Secretary General of NATO, Mr. Rutte, visited Odessa. There have also been talks or mention that the NATO countries, 32 countries, are preparing some form of security representation pending negotiations leading to a ceasefire or a cessation of hostilities. The French in particular are mentioned as either training or preparing for combat troops to move in a peacekeeping role. John, what is your measure of NATO now, given that there were always floating these ideas that the U.S. is leaving? NATO has big meetings coming up this summer and spring and summer. Is NATO prepared to step in and provide forces in Ukraine pending a ceasefire that does not include the U.S.? Where is the nature of those stories that the U.S. may take a backseat or not at all?
Right. So I think in this case, if there were some sort of reassurance force in Ukraine, it wouldn't be a NATO mission. In fact, Hegseth has ruled that out. It'd be a so-called coalition of the willing that the French and British are co-leading. So it's still unclear exactly what form that might take. In general, statements by officials and press reports tend to coalesce around some sort of modestly sized force, you know, perhaps 20 to 30,000 troops, not on the front lines, but back at, you know, strategic infrastructure sites or major cities, coupled with some sort of air power contingent, and then kind of a third prong at sea as well. So, you know, we'll see exactly what happens. I think these discussions, you know, despite all the, you know, positive noise, seems like they're still pretty early stages, and there's a lot of uncertainty about what actually will happen, in part because countries are still, in some cases, holding out hope, perhaps false hope, that the U.S. will be involved in some capacity. I think, you know, regardless of whatever happens with this reassurance force, the Ukrainian armed forces will remain the country's primary deterrent, the primary deterrent against a follow-on Russian invasion, which I think is unfortunately a strong possibility. And so from the West perspective, including the U.S., I think our primary concern should be making Ukraine a so-called steel porcupine through, you know, regeneration, training, arms transfers, et cetera, you know, investing in Ukrainian development and production, and to kind of, you know, bolster Ukraine's capabilities and help them implement key reforms after this war is over.
Bill, you have a question for John.
John, is there, it seems that both sides are so far apart. Is there any possibility of just getting a short-term ceasefire, a 30-day ceasefire, without meeting all of the demands of both sides, to just get a pause in the fighting? Or is this just, you know, it doesn't seem to me that the Russians are going to accept Western troops, U.S. and but the British and French troops based in Ukraine. You know, it seems like everyone's looking towards the end here. Is there any possibility of just a short, like a 30 or 60 day ceasefire, so that the sides can you know, have a realistic discussion about what the future can look like?
So I think, as I mentioned before, Kyiv has expressed readiness to do this. The trouble is the Russians. I think Putin is right now thinks that he has the upper hand on the battlefield and is trying to press that advantage for more territory and kind of leverage at the negotiating table. So unless we change that calculus, I don't think he'll be interested in a ceasefire. And I think if one does happen, it there's a good chance it won't hold. So I know President Trump wants to move really quickly. I understand and empathize with that. At the same time, I think it's, I hate to say it, but I think it's just true that many more Russians soldiers and pieces of equipment are going to have to be destroyed before Putin realizes that it's time to stop fighting. And so if I'm the U.S., I'm trying to inform his calculus about that. And so that means not only continuing to deliver what the aid that Biden promised, but also I think we're going to have to pass another aid package through Congress. And right now this is getting absolutely no attention, no appetite for this from at least from the Republican side. And I think that's going to have to change because there will come a time where U.S. aid starts to peter off, and that's only going to bolster the Russian advantage and probably make Putin even less willing to discuss a ceasefire.
John, quickly, just to review what we've learned from you. The Russian position has not changed for 3 years, and the Trump administration says unless there's there's progress, we're leaving the room. Is that where we are with these two positions?
That's where we are right now, yes.
And when they next meet, which in London, we don't expect any different information out of that meeting. We know.
I think what that'll primarily be about is the Ukrainians bringing back their answer to the ideas put forward at the Paris meeting.
John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow at the FTD, keeping the Long War Journal. I remind myself always when we get to these moments that Mr. Trump's opinion of the art of the deal is no negotiation is worthwhile unless you leave the room at least once and quit. We'll see. That's where we're headed.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.